Crow Canyon Archaeological Center near Cortez has been working with traditional Pueblo farmers from Hopi, Arizona, to document their farming practices. Every year, Hopi farmers have visited Crow Canyon in the spring and fall to teach the center's researchers and educators about Pueblo Indian farming and how to grow a healthy crop of corn on just 12 inches of rainfall a year with no additional irrigation. Here at one of the five corn gardens growing at Crow Canyon, Paul Ermagiotti of the center explains the history of the project.
Well, if you learn enough about these Pueblo people, I mean, the thing that made them who they were was agriculture. That was their subsistence, farming. So when we did a consultation with some Pueblo people because of an archaeological project, I think it was 2006, Mark Variant had asked them, is there anything they wanted to get out of it? And one of the responses was, we want to know more about agriculture in this area. So that was the origins of this particular project.
Central to agriculture everywhere, but particularly in the dry southwest of Colorado, is water. So this is a dryland farming area. Just explain exactly what that means and how it's so different from other agricultural practices in the state.
Most of our soils are windblown soils that have a lot of capacity to hold moisture. But since we're lacking in ground moisture, that moisture has to come from the sky. So we get, if we get plentiful winter moisture, snow, etc., that water will be stored in the ground. And then we get the summer monsoons, which is about this time, middle, late July into August. So the plant has enough moisture in the ground to germinate and grow to the first stages. And then by the time it gets to the reproductive stages, tasseling, pollinating, that's about when the monsoons come, which is what that corn needs, because it won't really grow too much in temperatures over 90 degrees. It just really slows down. So what happens is you get the moisture on time, a little bit cooler temperatures, the reproductive growth. Hopefully you get a good yield.
Outside of just the historical significance of all of this and the real cultural significance for the Hopi people, can we as a society, now that we are dealing with less water resources, learn anything from this, and particularly how attuned they are to selecting the site when it comes to water and moisture?
Sure. I think any good farmer is tuned in to where good fields are and what environmental conditions are. I think that's what all farmers have in common. I think for me, the big thing is trying to look at the genetic diversity available through these kinds of corns. We understand that the Hopi people had somewhere between a dozen and 17 different types of corn, whether it's a color or a starch texture. You know, these are all open pollinated plants, whereas today you're getting more and more hybridization, you're getting more and more GMO, you're getting plants that are Roundup ready so that when you kill everything off in the field, your corn crops will survive. Well, that's killing off all kinds of important plants, insects, probably on down the line birds because they eat the insects. So the idea is if you've got this genetic diversity available, if farmers wanted to, they're not so dependent on one type of corn where if you get a weed or a pest, it's going to wreak havoc on the whole field.
And in terms of how much moisture you're actually getting from the sky, being that that's what dryland farming is all about, did you say just about 12 inches a year?
It can be from 8 to about 12. And in a really good year, maybe 14 inches of precipitation. Snow, rain, hail, all that.
And you're getting beautiful crops out of what people think might be a small amount of moisture.
Yeah. We had an excellent winter, a very dry early summer, and we're just counting on hopefully these monsoons coming through.